before creating mental devotion, even if you are familiar with it otherwise anyway, just listen. The translation of the verse says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishvaram panchakalpa dharubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Can someone distribute some sheets? There are three. Actually two. One per devotee, or yes, one of each per devotee. So today we are going to discuss about general principles of bhakti, of devotional service. This is part of the module on spiritual development, spiritual values, and basically this module focuses on devotional practices and Vaishnava character, and we will be combining both. The idea is to have one lesson every, usually will be every Tuesday. This week we are doing it on Thursday to start with, but then from next week it will be on Tuesday. What we will do is, we will have one lesson every other Tuesday, and in the middle of each lesson, so that is every other Tuesday also, one of the college students will lecture on the topic, on some aspect related to the topic that was covered on the previous lesson by the tutor. Like, for example, today we are discussing general principles of bhakti, and next Tuesday, Brajaviharini Devidasi will be lecturing on, this was agreed yesterday with the third year students, they will lecture on a topic that, in this case, she will decide which topic related to what we discussed today. In this way, she will go deeper and help us to go deeper also in the study. It's also a way of, for students to practice lecturing at the temple. Another consideration for students, we will do like last year, students who miss the class, and this year we're going to be strict on that. Students who miss the class, they will have to write between 500 500 and 1,000 word essay on the topic of the class. So you can choose. If you want to not attend the class, it's fine. But then you are expected to write between 500 and 1,000 words within a period of 1 week. More than three times not submitting the assignment, meaning going beyond 1 week, means failing the module. It's simple, attending the class, unless you are ill, of course, then you communicate with the tutor, and then it's fine. Is it clear that for students, college students? Temple devotees, I cannot say that, but it's beyond my jurisdiction. So, anyway, the idea is to, what we want to do is to go deeper into the spiritual values and build up a foundation. And of course, many of you are already practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years. But it means to solidify or reinforcing the already existing solid foundation. And this cannot be overemphasized. It's always good to reinforce. So, actually, I will need. So what we are going to do is to look into a summary of the first part of Nectar of Devotion, focusing on the practices of bhakti, sadhana bhakti. In the paper, I have included some definitions, and the idea is because we are trying to cover a lot of material in very short time. We have very short time for that. Therefore, the notes, so that everyone can follow better. So, we will start by singing Rupa Goswami's verse found in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the original work of Srila Rupa Goswami, from which Srila Prabhupada wrote The Nectar of Devotion, a summarized study of Rupa Goswami's work. And this is a very important verse which defines what is the goal of life, what is the goal especially for a devotee, and what we should aim for. We can sing it now. Anja vilashita shunyam, jnana karma jnana vritam, anukulena krishnanu, shilanam bhakti uttama. Anja vilashita shunyam, jnana karma jnana vritam,
Anya vilasita sunyam, jnana karma Śrīlānāṁ bhakti uttamāṁ.
Śrīla Prabhupāda's translation of the verse. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna fervently and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. As Śrīla Prabhupāda also describes in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, he refers to the verse from Narada Pancharatra, Sarva Pali Vidir Muktam Tat Paradena Nirmanam Rishikena Rishikesha Sivanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Bhakti implies engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, and in this way becoming free from designations, from material designations. Sarva Pali Vidir Muktam, and becoming situated in the truth. So this is basically the definition of bhakti, the definition of what we are advised to aim for as devotees, or what we are supposed to aim for. Srila Prabhupada Swami describes three categories of devotional service, uttama bhakti, and uttama bhakti means pure bhakti, this is the goal, but it can be manifested in different degrees according to the maturity of the devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the ripened mango and the green mango. Both are mangoes, but there is a difference in maturity. So there are three categories: sadhana bhakti, which means devotional service in practice; bhava bhakti, devotional service in ecstasy or in divine emotion; and prema bhakti, or devotional service in pure love of Godhead. And let's read the Srila Prabhupada's definitions or the original verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so that we can get an idea of what we are discussing. Anyone would like to read loudly the definition of sadhana bhakti, point number 2? From Keshava,
please. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of these senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child, and simply by a little practice he walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men, like the aborigines, offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law, and they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action there is something supreme. So this consciousness, though lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every given entity. And when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness.
So is it clear? Very, very clear, very succinct definition given by Srila Prabhupada with different analogies illustrating the topic. The child who learns to walk by practicing with the help of the elders, of the parents. So similarly, we learn to walk or to manifest our dormant love for Krishna by practicing with the help of the spiritual master and the senior devotees. In this way, we gradually grow in our natural propensity for loving Krishna. Let's wait before we get more into sadhana. Now, we will go to point number 3. So, sadhana is the process of bhakti. It is uttama bhakti, pure devotional service, when it is not yet fully manifest. It is in the immature stage. It's the green mango. And now we look into what is the ripened mango. And these are the definitions of number 3 and number 4. Definitions of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Bhava bhakti is already ripened, but perhaps not fully ripened, almost ripened. And prema bhakti is fully ripened. So if one volunteer can read, this is a translation of Srila Goswami's verse as poem in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyaya chapter 23. Definition of Bhava Bhakti, point number 3. Anyone next to read?
When devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a sun ray of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and one is then situated in bhava, emotion.
So, two characteristics are mentioned of Bhava Bhakti. One primary characteristic, meaning that the heart becomes situated in pure goodness. It is completely purified from the lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance. And the second characteristic is that the heart becomes softened, like butter in very hot summer days, not like now, but like in summer, we see how the, now it's more difficult to put the butter on the bread in the morning. But during the summer, it is very easy. So then the heart becomes softened like that by different devotional feelings, devotional sentiments, very intense, experienced by the devotee. And number 4, definition of prema bhakti.
When that bhava softens the heart completely, it becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord, and becomes very much condensed and intensified. It is called prema, love of Godhead, by learned scholars.
So, the difference between prema and bhava is that in prema, the feeling of possessiveness for the Lord is much more, it's intense. In bhava, the feeling may be described as, my Lord, I am yours. But in prema, the feeling is, Krishna is mine. It's much more intense. Very exclusive feeling of possessiveness. And also the heart becomes completely melted. So, bhava and prema are the goals of bhakti. Are the final goal. Prema is the ultimate goal, and bhava is the intermediate goal, which, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, may be good to focus before focusing on prema, like saying, okay, we want to reach a certain destination, so better to first focus on purifying ourselves, and then we can reach the other goal. So this is something to consider. So bhava and prema implies that bhakti is experienced naturally. Within the heart, the devotee lives in the spiritual body, practically speaking. And even, although it is a very rare condition to attain bhava or prema in this lifetime, this is how it is described. Srila Prabhupada describes how it is very rarely attained. And this applies especially to the processes of, I mean, to the levels of pure spiritual perfection. So, although it is very rarely attained, the idea that it is the goal, and it's there. It's when a devotee attains, like Srila Prabhupada manifested in many occasions, symptoms of Baba by the way how he was serving the Lord. The symptoms of Baba are mentioned in Austrian Nectar of Devotion. There are 9 symptoms, and especially the symptoms are not external but internal. Internal by the intensity that the devotee shows in serving Krishna, in offering devotional service to the Lord. So, although it is rarely attained, we should see this is the goal, to become situated in a pure spiritual body and serve Krishna in this way. But because we are not there, then we need to practice, and this is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti can be compared to the carving of, for example, when we a sculptor is making a deity of the Lord for worship, a brass deity. So the brass deity is made first by working on clay. So there are different stages, different levels of development of the sculpture. First clay, then wax, isn't it? And then later on, I'm not the expert, so sorry if I make a mistake with the steps, but I know that this is correct. Clay, wax, that much you know. And then there is the molds are connected to the wax, right? This is how the molds of the deity are made. And then the molten metal, brass, or gold, if you want to make it, of gold, if you want to make it, well, we don't make use of that. It's risky also, if you steal the deity. But the molten brass is put in, and then the form which was carved by the artist, by the devotee artist, in first in clay, then in wax, then becomes, disappears, the wax disappears and remains the real solid brass. So this is the idea of sadhana bhakti, that we engage our present senses, our present material senses in bhakti, in the activities of pure love of Godhead. Even though the senses are still material, because they are contaminated by the modes of material nature, by touch, the process of bhakti, pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the self-realized spiritual master, then what happens is that gradually the material senses become dissolved, or actually like disintegrated in one way. Gradually the material senses become disintegrated and the original spiritual senses become manifest. It sounds somewhat esoteric, but it's like that how it goes. Gradually the material senses are disappear. Yes, you can ask questions or make comments.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sinha, it is said that Bhava Bhakti consists of three kinds of feelings, that is an intense desire to meet, serve, and exchange love with Krishna. And I think that this is very important to meditate on these three kinds of feelings, and heart melts from these three kinds of feelings.
But I think if I am getting you right, you are referring to Raganuga Bhakti, don't you? Because this is also practice, and this is good that you mentioned that, because this brings us to the two types of practice that we have in point 2 in the paper. You will find two directions of sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti is regulated practice, and Raganuga bhakti means spontaneous, which implies, as Kundas mentioned, implies to cultivate an intense desire to serve the Lord as the eternal associates of the Lord serve Him in Vrindavan, according to our particular attraction. So if someone likes to read the definition of Bhakti Sadhana Bhakti, point A, 2A.
When there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master, or in pursuance of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called Vaidhi Bhakti.
So the word Vaidhi Bhakti means regulate the discipline, to practice following discipline. Because the spiritual master, the spiritual doctor prescribes, we are very ill, we want to become cured, so we go to the doctor tells us, take this medicine, follow this diet, avoid this type of activities, and then you will get cured. So the spiritual master gives instructions, and these are not just prescriptions to counteract the illness, but prescriptions to help us to become situated in our real identity, our real spiritual loving identity as servants of Krishna. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti, and there are 64 principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, or sometimes Prabhupada describes them as principles or items, activities in devotional service. You can read the whole list in chapter 6 of Nectar of Devotion. There we find 3 lists of principles, 10 primary principles described as positive in that these are activities that we should perform. For example, taking shelter under the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Another one is receiving initiation from the spiritual master. Another one is following the instructions on how to practice devotional service as given by the spiritual master. Another one is honoring fasting in the Ekadashi day, and so on. There are different positive principles. Then there is another list of 10 activities that we should, they are described as nibriti in Nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, meaning activities that we need to avoid. For example, we should be careful when we associate with non-devotees, avoid mundane association, because we will become influenced by such association. Or also, we should avoid neglecting ordinary affairs. So it is right that we should avoid association of non-devotees, but at the same time we should be careful to pay attention to ordinary affairs, because if we don't pay the due attention, these affairs will be an obstacle later on in our devotional service. For example, if we have a family, we don't take care of the family, then the result later on may come back to us as problems because we didn't take care and become later. Or like that, this can be applied to any ordinary dealings. And there are other principles described by Rupa Goswami. And then there is a list of 44 additional activities. Many of these activities are related to the worship of the Lord, like marking our body with tilak, in this way remembering that the body is a temple of the Lord where the Lord is living. In this way we very early morning with a member of Krishna, immediately after waking up and taking a shower, we become physically purified by taking bath and mentally purified by applying tilak and singing the holy names of the Lord and remembering the Lord. Other principles, offering obeisances to the Lord in the temple and also accepting the prasad of the Lord, flowers, garlands, Charanamrita, looking Charanamrita and so on. And chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Mathura or in a holy place, similar to Mathura, where the same activities that we experience in the holy dance are manifest. Like for example, Radhadesh, sometimes we say Radhadesh Dham. Some devotees may think this is too much. Like Dham is not that much. Dham is Vrindavan and Mathura. Someone could question that there is a difference there. And yes, in one sense there is a difference, but in another sense, because the activities of devotional service are performed according to following the mood that is manifest in the holy places, that devotees express in the holy places. So in this way we can say there is no difference between a place where the different angas of bhakti are manifest and the holy dance of the Lord. I'm sure it would be a question from a technical point of view, and we could get into the differences between the places where Krishna directly manifests his pastimes and the places where Krishna is worshipped. I'm sure there will be some discussion there. But the point is that this is the four activities of Vairisarana should be performed, and they can be summarized in five activities, which you find at the end of the paper, the second paper. Five potent forms of devotional service. Actually, perhaps this would be better located under sadhana. So these activities are chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity of the Lord, and living in a holy place, living in Mathura. And maybe someone likes to read what Srila Prabhupada writes in the beginning of chapter 13. It is a short paragraph. Anyone likes to read the
book? The book is only stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte.
So this is the good fortune. This is actually Srila Prabhupada's gift. We were discussing something about the matchless gifts in the New York temple. Srila Prabhupada gives many incomparable matchless gifts. And these are actually the gifts to the Prabhupada gave. These five activities, and this is what we have in the morning program. The morning program is designed in such a way that these five activities are included. You see, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees. We don't do it alone, we do it in devotee association. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and then living in a holy place, or experiencing how it is life in a holy place. If we do not perform these activities, then the holy place can be seen in a mundane way. Mundane way. Our mundane vision naturally will take over. But if we daily perform these activities, then the spiritual consciousness gradually manifests. And In this way, gradually, like the mango, becomes gradually ripened, day by day, little bit more, and then, hopefully, after some years, at the end of this lifetime, or even before that, hopefully, will become riper, and we will be able to naturally love Krishna. And going back to Buddha's first point on Raghana Bhakti, there is a definition. Okay, one more point before that. There is a verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada in several occasions. Smarta Vyasa Kandishnur. The translation of the verse, if someone likes to read this verse, describes the essence of following the practices of regulated devotional service. We do it in a regulated way, but it is not a matter of regulation. It is a matter of devotion. It is a matter of cultivating remembrance of Krishna. If someone likes to read.
Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servant of these two principles.
So there are rules and prohibitions. But all the rules can be formalized in one rule. The rule is always remember Krishna. So the idea, why do we do all these things? Why do we lose? Just to remember Krishna. That's the purpose. And then there are prohibitions, what things we shouldn't do. Do not associate with, intimately with non-devotees. Why? The prohibition is to never forget Krishna. I mean, that's the statement. We should avoid forgetting Krishna. And because association with non-devotees brings forgetfulness of Krishna, therefore, we are instructed to be careful in these lyrics. And then this, in 2b, a definition of Raghana Bhakti. Maybe Mundas would like to read this.
Devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Radharu Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service.
So Srila Prabhupada describes Radharu Bhakti in different ways in his books. Sometimes, for example, he simply says in Nectar of Devotion, he says that when one becomes a little more advanced, then that's Radhanuga Bhakti. When one naturally wants to offer different types of services with a spontaneous desire to do it. So Srila Prabhupada does not focus on technical definitions and not even like esoteric, going too much into the esoteric description. Let me just read one paragraph about that. If I find it. Thank you. Yes, okay, here it is. This is the second chapter, Nectar of Devotion. Now, this sadhana bhakti or practice of devotional service may also be divided into two parts. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of our authoritative scriptures. And there can be no question on the refusal. That is called bhakti or regulate. So if one wants to advance, there is, Prabhupada says, there is no question of refusal. Of course, provided one wants to advance. That means following a regulated practice. It's a discipline. It's daily hammering on the head of the nail. Daily. It's every day, every day, every day, every day. We require patience. Isn't it? So, then Prabhupada says, that is called vaidhi or regulation. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sadhana bhakti is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, in the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arti. But then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely, regulative and spontaneous. And then, another definition given by Srila Prabhupada is when the devotee feels a natural attraction to love Krishna like one of the devotees of Vrindavan, like we read in Krishna book and in Nectar of Devotion. And this, it can be cultivated, but before that, we need to get purified from anarthas. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada does not emphasize this definition in the beginning. If we go too quickly to the second, the second definition Prabhupada gave of Raghunatha Bhakti, then we may get distracted from the path which is suitable for our advancement. We try to jump too quickly into higher dimensions. Of course, to always aspire to love Krishna is always good. Like a very poor fellow, he is a pauper. He can always aspire to become a wealthy man. But we should be aware of where we are at. Because if we are a pauper, and then we want to become a wealthy man and try to meditate, you know, as if we were already a businessman, well established, maybe too soon. First we need to establish a business. So first we need to establish a strong practice of sadhana. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in holy places, associating with devotees, and then we can go deeper into inner dimensions of the inner meditation. But of course, this is always good if it's done under the guidance of the spiritual master. Any comments, questions? Our time is basically up. I'm following the footsteps of previous speakers. I stand a little longer.
It seems that the Raghunuga thing,
It is not Baba.
Which stage?
No, Radha Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada describes it as an advanced practice, but it is practice. Raghunuga is the devotee is deciding to become, to love Krishna like these devotees, but still there is a need for purification. And that's why I bring that ship. There is another ship. I will need one to be able to refer. This ship is based, I found it very helpful for understanding the different stages from Shraddha to Prema. Remember there are 9 stages, Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nibriti, Nishta Ruchi. So the first 7 stages are sadhana. Shraddha, initial faith, you have it here, stage, initial faith, up to the 7th, asakti, attachment. This is practice. The devotee is still practicing. Perhaps some of the problems we experience individually and also as a community are coming from not acknowledging the stages. For example, not acknowledging that we are practicing and thinking that we are already transcendental. And then many times we commit offenses to devotees and to non-devotees by this way of thinking. And then the result is problematic. And then this is Srila Vishwanatha Prabhupada Thakur, Madhurya Karambini. She gives this description, as illustrated in this chart, of how the different anarthas which cover the heart are annihilated gradually. And if you look, there are 4 groups of anarthas described on the top. Anarthas coming from previous sins, from sinful activities we perform, or anarthas coming from, another group is coming from pious activities, such as, for example, giving charity and then thinking, oh, I'm a very pious person and I'm a very good person who is helping others. So this also can be a type of anartha which prevents us from going deeper into bhakti, into love for Krishna. Then anarthas arising from the process of bhakti imperfectly performed. We practice bhakti, but we don't practice it in a fully correct manner. And finally, the most difficult to eradicate are anarthas come from offenses. And if you look at the levels of eradication, there are 5 levels of eradication listed. If you go to the last column, anarthas from offenses going down, limited. So these anarthas are eradicated at the level of bhajana kriya or ordinary practice in a limited way. Limited way means one anartha at a time. This is how Vishwanatha Kravarti Thakur describes it. One anartha at a time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also discusses this in his book sometimes. We should focus on, he even says that we are able to eradicate, if we really focus, 3 anarthas in one lifetime. Like big anarthas that we have. So we can imagine how much work we need to do. We require mercy to get purified. So we shouldn't get discouraged. This is still like we're not talking saying. And then, I mean, of course the good news is that by mercy we can get there in one lifetime. This is the good news. We get there by in one lifetime. So it's good. We are doing good. In that sense, we are doing good. We are taking shelter under the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. That's very good. Then at the level of nishtha, this is pervasive. And this level of nishtha, this will be, we could say, the beginning of Radha Bhakti. It is practiced at the certain level of Nishtha. When there is steadiness in the heart, and many of the anarthas are like captain, like here, pervasive. Pervasive means, as a group, the anarthas are basically almost annihilated. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, the Bhagavatam says. But still, there are risks of committing offenses. And therefore, we see that at the level of bhava, the anarthas arising from offenses are eradicated at a general level. So according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, some risk seems to be there. Like Bharat Maharaj, he was at the level of bhava bhakti, but he had to take two more births, one birth as a deer. Because some type of very, very subtle, imperceptible, unconscious, without ill motivation offense, by going away from the association of devotees and by being alone at the forest and not having the association of devotees to get help and to be corrected. And finally, at the level of prema, the eradication is complete, but not even absolute according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti. Absolute only when we attain the lotus feet of the Lord. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of Maharaj Chitraketu, who became the demon Pritrasura. So the offense was not a real offense in one way, because there was no malice in his heart. But still he was cursed. And by the will of the Lord, he took birth as a demon. And then, after that, he attained the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, the eradication is absolute only when we attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Which means we shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted as long as we have a material body. We are in a condition, in a condition state of existence. Any comments or?
What encouragement can you give us that these stages are really there and where we have to find them? Sometimes it just feels like too complicated.
What encouragement to? Well, the encouragement is what Prabhupada wrote, you have it written in the text, that the five important forms of devotional service, Prabhupada writes, Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are supporting that the small attachment for any of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy, even in a new five. So if we just become attached to one of these activities, we can achieve the perfection in life. So it's there, it is at our reach. At least this is what keeps me going. I see myself full of all kinds of anarthas and put in there. But this, okay, you can become attached to one of these forms, then there is hope that one day you will attain the desired result. So next Tuesday will be a class given by a student. Brother Ikari Mati will do that. And you can choose whatever topic from what we discussed today. You select and you elaborate as you like. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.